Welcome to the Beauty in Battle podcast, where we talk about winning in marriage by waging a war. I'm Jason Benham. I've got my girlfriend slash wife, Tori Benham, with me, and we are here to talk to you about how Satan tries to get you to fight face-to-face with your spouse, but God designed you to fight shoulder-to-shoulder against Satan so that you can win in your marriage. Fighting together draws you together. We cannot wait to jump in. So here we go. All right, today I'm really pumped about this. We're talking about marriage on mission. Mm. You like that title, don't you, Tor?
I love it. That's perfect.
It was good. Today. And we have two of our closest friends here, Trent and Amy Pruitt. They moved to Charlotte, North Carolina from Thailand. They were missionaries on the mission field, and they came here and they incubated for 2 years. They worked with us at Benham Real Estate Group. Mm-hmm. That's right around the same time David and I were talking about doing this really cool thing called missioneering, which would be self-sustaining revenue model for missions overseas. They caught the vision, went over to the Philippines 2 years later, and they have been there for 13 years and now have just the coolest. They've got a safe haven orphanage over there. You've got a new church called
Aruka.
I was waiting.
That's a hard one to remember.
Aruka. Yeah. And the cool thing is that they've also started their own business. That, you know, we started two CrossFit gyms over in the Philippines with Trent and Amy.
Yep.
They were able to run those things profitable and then sell them and use that to buy the land for where now their orphanage is Safe Haven. And they've since started several other businesses. One of their businesses is a business process outsourcing company that's doing really well and is almost covering the cost of the orphanage, which
so awesome.
They are living this missioneering story. Yeah. So if you don't know about missioneering, you can go read our book, Whatever the Cost. We talk about Trent and Amy. We also mention them in our book, Expert Ownership. And we ought to do a podcast on expert ownership, talking about missioneering, self-sustaining revenue models for missions. And anyway, that's not what we're talking about today.
Yeah.
Today we have them on because they are in town and we're going to talk about marriage on mission and the awesome things because they have their best friends married 26 years, have six kids, three adopted, and their kids love Jesus. And we're like, you know what? We need to talk to them because they can teach us a thing or two about marriage.
For sure. Because you guys have been married for how many years?
26 years.
When we first met you guys, you had three kids and we only had three kids at the same time. Mm-hmm. Our kids are the same age, hit it off right away.
Yeah.
You were homeschooling. I was homeschooling. So we did a lot together. Mm-hmm. And now our kids that were like, you know, growing up together are now adult kids, which is just crazy.
Yeah.
And so Trent and Amy got in last night. We had them for dinner and Trey and Bailey, who just got engaged, were here. And Amy was giving Bailey some marriage advice. We're like, we've got to have them on the podcast. Aww.
Hey, you know what? Before we talk marriage, real quick, because I know that our listeners are going to want to know, what is Safe Haven? What do you guys do over there? And how's it been going?
So, well, Safe Haven is a residential care for children that are orphaned, abandoned, or severely neglected.
Yeah. And what town is it in?
It's in Davao. It's on the island of Mindanao. It's Davao City.
In the Philippines.
And we live 45 minutes out of the city into the jungle where we have a property where we have an entire community of people that's made up of missionaries, and also Filipinos and the orphan. And we have a community of people that we live together. So it's not the traditional orphanage mission, which is
cool.
Yeah. So we have a community of people that are living together in the idea of Acts 2:42, which was they broke bread, they fellowshiped, they studied the apostles' doctrine, and they had all things in common. And so we are living in the presence of God, and the children are the lifeblood of our community.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
It's incredible. And Amy, I want you to chime in on that. And I also want you to cover a little bit about the business. You guys have started several businesses because you guys are missioneers. Mm-hmm. You know, missioneer is an engineer where you're engineering business solutions with a pioneering mindset, all for missions. You guys are two missioneers. And so you're creating self-sustainable revenue models for your mission. So Amy, chime in a little bit more about Safe Haven or whatever, and then tell them about Hanani.
Yeah, it's been really cool because we're foster parents first, and that's how we got even into doing the orphanage because we never even went overseas to do that. Mm-hmm. And it was through that we saw a huge need for older children specifically that didn't have placement.
Mm. Yeah.
And so it's just such a joy to be able to open up our hearts. And then we live on the property with the kids is what Trent was talking about. So we get to bring in the kids that are orphaned and abandoned and severely neglected, where we do a private homeschool for them. Wow. And we live with them daily, and we just try and love on them, bring restoration, because, you know, they come in usually pretty broken. Mm. And so just being there consistently for them, and just sharing God's heart for them, and that they're wanted. And that's a huge thing.
Wow.
It's a huge thing.
And through all of that, your marriage has flourished. So when we were with our kids last night, we're like, hey, we need to get Amy and Trent talking about marriage a little bit. So Tor, let's dive in.
Okay. Yeah. So we're going to ask some of the same questions that we did with David and Lori, and then with Scott and Beth. So we'll start with, if you could go back to the night before your wedding and give yourself one piece of advice, what would it be? And Amy, you actually were talking about this last night with Bailey.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
it was so good.
Yeah, it was actually advice given to me. Mm. And so it really was the best I've ever been given. And that was, I had come to the Lord before Trent, and they said, she told me, you can do more on your knees for your husband than you can ever do with your mouth.
Mm. Wow.
And that was so significant, because in that, it put my heart for him.
Yeah.
Instead of against him, instead of like what he's not doing. Mm. And, you know, my expectations for him. And it really was gold.
Wow.
That's the best.
That's so good.
And,
I love that.
And sure enough, Trent came to know the Lord as a result of your prayers. And
amen.
Not harping on him or anything like that.
Right.
Yeah.
It worked. It did.
Trent, what would yours be? Is that what you were going to ask Tor?
Mm-hmm. Mine would be to listen to my wife. Because when we first got married, I was a young man, and I had this idea in my mind of being a leader, you know, and a leader makes all the decisions. And through the years, I've seen time and time again where my wife will say, hey, she'll give her opinion about what we should do. And I didn't give her thoughts as much credence as I should have. And now that I'm older and more experienced, I've done that. Mm. And I see that my wife is right more than I am.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. So that's what I would give my,
we like to say, that God made men solvers and he made women censors, that he gives them the nose to sniff out the thing so that we can go and solve.
Mm. Yeah.
Now, obviously a man can sense and a woman can solve, but by nature,
right,
that helper nature of hers, she can sniff things out that we can't sniff.
Yeah.
You know, our wife.
So you've learned to value that sensor in her.
Absolutely. 100%.
I love that. That's awesome. Okay. Next question.
Good advice, Trent.
I love it. What are some of your best marriage practices, things that you intentionally do on a regular basis that strengthen your relationship? Some healthy habits.
I think one of the things that Trent has taught me is that we really want to we want to be proactive. So if we have a need, say it, right? So don't complain that you're not getting it. Just be like, hey, instead it's like, own it a little bit. Like, I'm feeling like I need more time with you.
That's so good.
You know, instead of like, you're busy or coming at it as a negative.
Mind.
Yeah, expecting him to do that. So I think that we really try to listen to each other. You know,
and that's a really good point. Because I just think there are so many people, there are so many couples where if one partner isn't giving them what they need, then they really want their partner to intuitively know, here's what you need to be doing this for me.
Yeah.
But you know what? Sometimes, especially if it's from a girl to a guy, the guy needs to be coached.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He needs you to tell him, hey, you know what? I really need you to be a little more sensitive right now.
So true.
Just coach him. And then, dude, be coachable.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Or the idea of, I want you to want to be with me.
Yeah.
I don't want to tell you to be with me. I want you to want to be. So, yeah.
Yeah. That's so good. We talk about like the different styles of getting our needs met. Like different people have different styles, and my style is withdraw method, which is to like just pull back and to kind of hope Jason can figure it out. It doesn't work so well, right? So exactly what you're saying. It's like I have had to learn to be really proactive to tell him what my needs are, or to say, hey, I actually have an opinion on this. I actually have a desire for this. Yeah. But yeah.
So you won't you won't do that unless you embrace vulnerability, especially if it's a guy. It's a very difficult thing to say to your spouse, hey, I need you to do this. Or when you said this, that actually hurt a little bit. It's like, especially for a guy.
Yeah.
You know, so you have to have vulnerability. Second, you got to be a student of your spouse. So if Tori, obviously she's a withdrawer. Mm-hmm. So if she's not getting what she needs, she naturally will withdraw, you know, which that's just kind of her personality. It's like, okay, well, essentially screw you.
I'll be fine without you.
I'm going the other direction. So if I see her withdrawing, if I'm a student of her, I recognize that's her signal that says, come get me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, but you have to be a student of your spouse.
But do you ever like that with that sometimes the withdrawal is like just a little space and then we're good. Like give us a little breathing room.
Yes.
And then talk
a little space does go a long way sometimes too. Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes I'll see her withdrawing, but she's walking really slow, looking back at me, you know, and the wind is blowing in her hair. I'm like,
is that what you think?
She wants me.
That's it. Well, with Amy, when she withdraws, I know that what she needs is space.
Uh-huh.
And then I pursue. So I have to, you know, like you said, smart be a student man. Of yeah, my wife.
Safe. Yeah.
If I come too soon, I'm going to blow it.
Yeah.
And then it's like, hey, you know,
I just don't want to say anything I won't mean.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I just need to like, give me space.
Why don't you be nice to your husband, Amy?
Why?
No. Well, in the context of this specific question, I'm the type of person that I don't like unresolved issues, not even in the space between our conversation where she needs time to go think about it. Yeah. I'm just dying because I can't stand unresolved conflict.
Yeah.
So I'm on her heels. I'm like, no, well, let's work this out. Let's talk about it. And she's like, no, I just need.
I need to figure out what is making me upset too. Like what is off? Something is like, I don't know. I don't want to talk about it yet. Let me think.
And so will you say that? Will you be like, give me a few minutes?
I usually don't say it.
She will.
So much with mouth. I do a lot with my face. Yeah. Like
body language says it.
Just give me a minute.
Yes. Yeah. That's so good.
But we also date. We date every week.
Oh, that's cool. That's what do you guys do? If you're living in are you actually in a jungle?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what do you do for a date?
Well, we drive out of the jungle to the city.
Okay.
Okay.
You're not like cutting down coconuts and stuff.
No. Yeah. That's not date night. That's just regular stuff. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Got it.
So
every week you guys go on a date.
Yes.
That's your habit. That's awesome.
And that's critical.
Yeah.
Especially with the life that we live and the things that we do. We live where we work.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
so, you know, there's no leaving work and coming home and getting away because we live right in the middle of everything that we do.
Mm. Yeah.
And so, you know, it's as fast as someone coming over and knocking on our door and needing us, one of the children, one of our community members or whatever. But so it is critical that we get away and spend time together away from what we do.
And you go into the city to do what?
Well, dinner? In the Philippines, there's not a whole lot to do.
Okay.
But there really isn't much to do.
We do. We go and we eat a meal. We have
a 45-minute drive in and back.
Okay. So that's a lot of time to catch up.
Yeah.
Is that on a moped?
No.
Like she's got to get really close to you?
Well, that used to be the case when we first got there, but praise the Lord, we are now.
You have a car?
We have a car. We have a vehicle. Yeah. And,
how long would that take on a moped? A long time, huh?
We lived in the city, though.
Oh, gotcha. So.
But motorcycle. But the motorcycles are more like mopeds. Yeah, so,
they are.
Yeah.
They're fun to ride. You just don't want anybody to see you doing it.
Yeah. No, exactly. not real masculine. Yeah. So we go on a date every week.
Yeah. Well, like dinner, the ride, sometimes we'll just hang out at the mall, coffee. Mm. And then I will say a huge perk.
Mm. I know where you're going with this.
A Thai foot massage.
The foot massage.
Ooh. Yeah. Oh,
that's awesome.
That's like almost every week. It's
$10.
$10
for both of us.
I would do that.
Yeah.
For an hour.
For an hour.
For an entire foot
hour.
Massage.
That sounds
heavenly.
They
start with your hands. Mm. And then they go to your feet and they end with your head. It's amazing.
What's the tip situation there? Like you got to leave a tip?
Yeah, but it's like $2.
$2?
And that's a great tip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it's not that we're cheap. It's that's actually a really good tip in the Philippines.
Wow. A Thai massage in the Philippines.
Thai foot massage.
Foot massage.
And you sit in a recliner. So it's like nothing shady. So you're not like,
it's not like one of those.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Asia.
Tori and I like to go to the mall up the road and there's these Chinese foot massage people. They also do chair massages.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's like one of our things.
We love it. Yeah.
Although it's like, $22 for 20 minutes.
Yeah. Right.
Or you could do 10 minutes for like $12, I think, or something.
Yeah. But why do that when you can go 20 minutes? Mm. And then, of course, you hear the thing buzz and then every time. Would you like more time, sir? It's like, give me 10 more.
Yeah.
Might as well.
Yeah, that's one of our favorite things to do, too, on our date. Go to the mall. Okay.
Good call.
Trent, this is for you. What are some of Amy's strengths that have helped build the marriage you have today?
Amy is a very loyal person. Different than faithful, you know. Loyalty is that she is loyal to me in the context of me being the leader and the head of the family.
Yeah.
I will say that we'll go about doing something in this way, and she'll even allow me to make that decision, knowing that it's probably not the best decision, but she's loyal to honoring me as her husband. And so many times that really like follows into what I would have given advice to my listen to your wife more because my wife is very wise, but she honors and respects me, which the word tells us that when she does that, it gives me a like genuine passion to love her in return.
That's good.
So she aids me in the fact that she honors and respects me so much that it makes it easy for me to love her.
Yeah.
And that's been powerful in our marriage.
You said loyalty is different than faithfulness.
Right.
What do you mean by that?
Well, faithfulness is being consistent in doing something that she's supposed to do.
Yeah.
That's part of her role.
Yeah.
Loyalty is something that she does that helps me in my role.
Mm. It's devotion.
Yeah. She's loyal to me and she's faithful in what her role is.
Yeah.
That's good.
You took your vows seriously, Amy.
I did.
Bravo.
Yeah.
I love that. That's so powerful.
Thank you.
Okay, Amy, what are some of Trent's strengths that contribute most to the marriage you have today?
You know, Trent is a really good man.
Yeah, you are.
He is. He is like really good to his core. Mm. He is just genuine and he does hard things and he seeks God first, which puts everything else in order. And, you know, I mean, he's just, I mean, I'm his biggest fan. You know, yeah. I literally got that award in college. Trent's Did biggest you? Fan.
Oh, really? No way.
The I Love Trent Award.
Yeah. Oh, that's yeah. awesome.
But he is just so good and he's so caring. And like even his ability just to love, even when it's hard to love.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You're just good to your core. I mean, like, I'm so honored, honestly, to be your wife. Like, not just saying that on
check
this.
It out.
He's a good guy.
Wow.
So Tori and I are like in this awkward place. Like, you guys are having a moment. Tori and I are like, what are we supposed to do? You just press pause. We'll leave for a second.
Do you know what we forgot to do?
Our song.
We forgot to do our song.
Do you want to do it
now?
And
I feel like it would be a perfect time
okay.
to play Trent and Amy's favorite song.
Here's the song. They dance too.
Since you guys are having this moment.
Oh my
on their wedding. And I didn't even have to tell you who it is or the name of the song because you will know it. Oh, that is so great.
That's what you are.
Okay. YouTube won't let us play it for longer than 7 seconds.
There you go.
So there we go. There Nat King Cole, Unforgettable.
So this is your song, kind of? Or did you play?
We don't really, I don't know if we have a song.
But if you had to have a song,
that was our song at our wedding.
That's the one. The one that we chose.
I love it.
The one that we chose.
So yeah, it's our song.
And that's from the soundtrack, Sleepless in Seattle, which is a very good love story.
It is.
Yes. Everybody that listens to us knows that Sleepless in Seattle is Tori's favorite. That and You Got Mail.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
I talked with somebody the other day, I'm not joking, that told me that they actually, I went out to dinner with them in Louisiana and I said, how did you guys meet? They've been married like 24 years or something. They said on an AOL chat room.
Are you serious?
That is wow. You Got Mail.
No
that
way.
Is You Got Mail, an AOL chat room.
That is crazy.
My first people that I met like that.
Huh. I don't think there's very many.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, so we're going to move into some parenting questions for you guys. If you could go back, what parenting advice would you give yourself that you wish that you knew when you first became a parent?
Ooh, is that a good one? You going, Trent?
Yeah, I'll go first. Enjoy it. You know, I was a little too militant in my mindset with the kids when they were little. In my younger, and now that we're older. We have 27 children. So,
we have
3 biological and then we have 3 that are adopted. And then we have another 21 children that are in the orphanage that we're parenting.
Yeah.
Like I'm Papa T and Amy's Mama A. And so it's unconventional. You know, it is different than the children that live in our home, but nonetheless, I'm their father. And so I'm fulfilling that as the best as I can. But in that, I've learned in my older age to enjoy being a parent. And like even with the little kids, when they're doing something that I used to be concerned about their future. I've got to, you know, discipline them. I've got to make sure that I'm teaching them. And now I'm just like laughing about it, enjoying, you know, them even throwing a temper tantrum. It's like, it's really not that big a deal. And it's like cute. Whereas before I was so mission focused. I was so focused on what needed to be accomplished in my children that I didn't get to enjoy it. And now I am.
Yeah. But what I love is that God's grace is sufficient. Yeah. So even though you're like, maybe I was a little too militant, the three kids that you have, your three biological that are already out of the house and now out of college, they're rock star kids. They're awesome. They all love Jesus. So
amen.
Even though you may have been like, I probably could have eased up a little bit, God's grace is sufficient.
Yeah.
You know,
that's good.
He covers our mistakes.
Yeah. The Bible says that wisdom is known by her children.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, our kids, they are the biggest boast of our marriage. You know, outside of the love that I have for my wife, my children are the fruit of my marriage. And I'm just so blessed to say that all three of our kids, like you said, Jason, are loving the Lord, have a vision for their life that's in, you know, in relation to the kingdom. And so,
and a big part of that is because you guys have been on mission. Now, obviously, you're missionaries, but I mean, for those of the rest of us who are over here, so long as we're families on mission, like we have a mission, you know, and whatever it is that we're doing, you know, I try to train my boys, you know, you are missionaries in basketball. Lundy, on that volleyball court, you're a missionary. Allie, whatever you're doing in business, you're a missionary. So I think it's important to make sure that, you know, we obviously title this marriage on mission. So it's the family on mission as well.
Have you guys seen, like, with that kind of shift in this new season of life with your younger kids, with you guys just in taking them in and enjoying them, have you seen a response from that that you didn't see in your older kids? Like, do you kind of see them like connecting with you at a different level because they feel that from you?
I do.
Yeah.
I think that I've seen a noticeable difference. You know, I think that because I'm disciplining less and I'm teaching more.
That's cool.
And so, like you said, Jason, can't argue the results in our first kids.
Right.
But I think that it's also a lot more enjoyable for the child. In the fact that there's less discipline, more teaching. And we'll see, but you know, even the kids, our adopted kids, they're fantastic. So
who was it that said to us advice for parenting? Was it Michelle Bachman that told us try to say yes as much as you can?
I think that was Michelle.
I think that's what you're getting at. Say yes as much as you can. Don't always just say no as your default.
That's good. Amy, do you have anything to add to?
I would say listening is huge, and like trusting your gut. You know, you don't want to be like overbearing. You want to let them make mistakes, right? Yeah. And I think that's something that the second time around, we allow them a little more leniency to like make decisions so that those teaching moments can have.
Yeah.
But if you're not listening, it's like you want them to come to you in good times and bad times, right? So you want them to know that you're approachable, that you make time for them, that you care.
Yeah.
It's not just, you know, it's that you want them to be able to come to you with issues, right?
Yeah.
So listening is huge, not that's just really doing good. All the talking.
Yeah, that's really good.
Can I say something real quick? Because I want you guys to relate a story because you related it to us, and I think it'd be helpful for people, especially as their parents. Because one thing that we're seeing is detachment disorder. Like it's like a kids not fully attaching to their parents, especially as they're getting older, is a major issue.
Right.
You guys have an adopted 5-year-old boy who went through something very serious for 2 years, but specifically Amy, you getting up with him in the night and holding him. And now he is the most attached boy ever, but it really took sacrifice on your part. So Trent, start the story. Tell what happened with your youngest son, your adopted son, and why he was going through these issues, what was happening, and then we could shift it into Amy.
Okay. Yeah. So Johnny, it's funny because Amy went to the store to buy a copier because we needed one for our small business, and she came back with a 1-year-old baby. So that's kind of, and what's funny is that Johnny, he copies everything you say. So he was like the copier that Amy was supposed to get. But
wow. So she comes. Call and ask.
Yes, she did. Yeah, she called and said Johnny needed emergency placement because he was in a life-threatening situation with his biological parents, where they were locking him in a room, an upper room, okay, in the Philippines, which is smoking hot.
And he was one?
He was, yeah. I mean, and when we got him, he looked like he was on like some kind of chemo because his hair was so thin all over. He was so malnourished that he was in bad shape. And so when we got him, his grandmother was a witch. Mm. And so there was witchcraft all over him, and they tie these strings and they do these imlets, and they're handmade, and they had him on his body when we got him. So when we took off his diaper, it was we saw these things and we didn't know what they were really, and we found out that it was witchcraft. And so he was really beautiful young boy, little boy, and so we took him in, and we were supposed to only keep him a month.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what the DSWD said. That's the governmental agency in the Philippines that placed him with us. And he's been with us now for 4 years, almost 5 years. And so we bring him in, and I'm sleeping on the floor.
Yeah.
Okay. And now he's sleeping in my bed with my wife. Yeah. And that lasted for almost 2 years. I slept on the floor. And then, Amy, you go ahead and explain what would happen at night.
Yeah, during the day, he was actually a really chill kid and really good. But at night, he would just wake up and just terror. Mm. Yeah. And his back would arch and his feet would go stiff and just like over each other. Mm. And there's nothing you could do.
And he'd scream a solid hour.
Solid hour.
Wow.
Every single night.
And what would you do?
I'd cry some nights. I'd pray for him. I'd sing. And the boys would come in the room and pray with me too.
But you were always holding him.
I had to hold him. It was worse if I put him down.
Yeah.
And so it's really hard to hold someone that doesn't want to be held, but it was worse to not hold him.
Yeah.
So I just was like, just speaking scripture over him. I'd pray for him. Mm. I'd sing and just hold him.
Wow. Yeah.
And after a 2 year period, of doing that.
Yeah, just under 2 years. Slowly just stopped.
It broke.
And now he's like uber attached to Amy.
He is.
But I think that's a great testimony.
Yeah.
Like, it took sacrifice on your part, but you were close proximity and always available.
Yeah.
You were there, and it did cost you a little bit. You weren't able to do some of the things in the ministry that you wanted to do.
Right.
Because you're up in the middle of the night with this young kid. But now he's attached.
It was actually funny when he was little. If I forgot something at the house and I'd have someone watch him for a minute, I had to like sneak in our bedroom window so he didn't see me.
Because
if I left, they're like, what are you doing? I'm like, I don't want Johnny to see me.
That's so cute.
Yeah.
That's really
it's healthy now.
That's awesome.
I love it. Okay. Amy, what are some attributes that you appreciate most about Trent in a dad?
He's such a good listener. And he will have, like, at the end of the day, you get tired, right? And he will just go in there and talk till 2 a.m. And he doesn't shy away from the hard things to say. And he asks questions. Like, he's like an expert communicator. But you're really good at like taking time. It's just like so many times that I get frustrated. I'm like, oh, this is driving me crazy.
Yeah.
But he is so patient, and he will have those long conversations and just over and over again. Or it's like, you know, when someone's going through something and you almost don't want to touch it. You're like, oh, I don't want to ruin the night. This is like, I'm so tired.
Right.
That's not true.
He's going to go there.
He's going to go there. Mm. And I'm like, so thankful that he does.
That's awesome.
It's great having a spouse that does that, because then you don't have to do
it. Right? I'll hold the screaming babies.
that's where she thrives.
Yeah.
You work with the teenagers.
Yeah.
Trent, what about you? What are some things you see in Amy that you really appreciate as a parent?
She takes care of everybody. Like, literally takes care of me, takes care of the kids. She makes sure that we have everything we need, whether it's food, whether it's like a first aid kit when we travel, or it's the tiny little things that you'll get somewhere that I will never bring and be like, oh man, I wish I would have this. Amy brings it. I mean, she's cash when it comes. She's
prepared,
always prepared, looking out, you know, taking care of all the documents, like with all of our children that we're adopting. Amy is like on point. Mm. She has all the docs in place, ready to roll, talking to the attorneys, and just just, she is on point as far as that's concerned. And I'm so deeply grateful for that because it would have never happened if it was up to me because I would have forgotten.
You're a bonehead.
Yeah. And she's amazing in that area.
I would definitely echo that with just what, just so strong for wives out there to understand you're still married to a boy. Like your husband, yeah, he's a man, but he's a boy. Mm-hmm. And honestly, what the best thing that a mom could do for a young boy is make him feel cared for like that. Mm-hmm. And so when you as a wife, you're making lunch for your husband or whatever and sending it with him, or you're taking care of little details or whatever, anything that you can do to make him feel cared for is 100% something that gets to the heart of a man. And it honestly puts him into that little boyhood feeling. So it doesn't surprise me that the one thing that Trent mentions that he appreciates about Amy is that you take care of things. That's so weird.
Mm-hmm. That's so weird that I've never heard it articulate. That's exactly right. And it's weird. You're right.
You're just like, a little boy.
Thanks, Mom.
Yeah. Thanks, Mom. I love you.
Mom's the best.
Yeah.
But that's hit on the money. Yeah. I've never realized that until this very second.
Oh,
but then you're not thinking about Mom around.
No, I'm like, wow, this is weird.
You're not Mom anymore.
You're not my Mom.
Please don't be Mom.
Please.
You guys are an amazing team. I love it. That's awesome. Thank you guys for sharing that with us.
Absolutely.
Are we going to move into some recipes?
Oh, do you want to do recipe? Okay. So, do you guys have a recipe?
Well, I was talking to Amy.
She doesn't like it, but Trent loves it.
Well, there's a couple.
You got a couple.
Oh my goodness. Trent, we'll start with you because you were talking about this go-to healthy cookie that you eat like every single day, and I'm totally trying it. But Amy's like, I don't know.
I don't think it's good.
Yeah.
It's
like Amy doesn't love it, but
it's like
you
a horse
love
treat.
It does.
It does if it's like you're comparing it to like Krispy Kreme.
Oh, okay, got it.
Then it is a horse treat.
We're talking about something that you could eat in a tropical forest.
Yeah, and it's healthy. And it's, I mean, you can knock down three or four and not even sweat it because it's all natural. It's healthy. And so it's good.
Does it keep you regular?
I don't know if it has that quality.
Okay. Well,
you're pretty regular.
You know, once you're over 45, it's very important that those things keep you regular.
So tell us what it is.
Okay. So it's, oats, it's, cinnamon, two eggs, smashed up bananas.
What, one whole banana?
I think it's three bananas.
Are you going to give us portions here?
Oh, so you want the exact ingredients.
Well, you can share it with me and then I'll put it on Jason Torres.
I think it's three bananas, two eggs, a cup of
oats,
and then a half a cup of honey.
Oh.
And
that's some serious
sweetness there.
I don't think it's that much honey.
Yeah, I'm not sure on the amounts because I don't actually make it.
Then what are you doing?
I eat them. That's my recipe.
A half a cup of honey would be a good bit of honey.
A gallon of liquid.
Just do me a favor, Trent, and shut up. Let Amy tell us.
So you basically mix this together and you bake them in cookies?
Right. You bake them like cookies.
Yes.
Yeah, you do.
And they're good.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you'll have to share
it. I want
to
try it.
And I'll make them. Okay. We'll see. Amy, this is not your favorite.
Not my favorite cookie.
But Trent likes it. Okay. So
tell me what you told me that you're kind of go to. And I really think you made this for us one time, like 15 years ago.
Feel like I'm like this cook. So, I mean, nothing's going to be like any family secret recipe here, but we love the chicken enchiladas at the Better Home and Gardens cookbook.
Okay.
Plaid one.
Yes.
I just usually double.
My mom had that recipe book.
I just usually like double or triple. So it's really saucy.
Okay.
Yeah.
The sauce, you double or triple the sauce.
Yeah. Okay. So it's really saucy.
And is that what you pour over it?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so it's good. It's our favorite. Like the kids always ask for it when they get to come home.
Oh, that's
so
cool.
It's chicken enchiladas by Better Home and Gardens recipe.
Just classic.
Triple the sauce.
Yeah.
Got
it. She's like, I don't really like cooking. And my favorite recipe is this thing. Have you heard of Chef Boyardee?
D. You gotta nail the D. Yeah.
Open the can, pour it in, and nuke it up.
Yeah. No.
That's good, though. Yeah. I think you did make that for us 15 years ago.
I do remember having enchiladas at your house. Mm-hmm. They were very good.
Yeah.
Okay. This was fun.
Yeah.
You guys are awesome. Any parting words? Oh, you know what? Where can people find you guys? Mm-hmm. How can they donate to your ministry, Safe Haven? Tell us exactly where to go.
SafeHavenChildrensHome.com.
SafeHavenChildrensHome.com.
.com. I would like to say one more thing. I think it's important. Most of our children can't be adopted. Mm. We're a long-term placement. Yeah. So we have like one sibling set that could be, but the other children are being protected
yes.
from being returned to their family. Okay. So that's a lot of the reason why we're Mama A and Papa T. Mm. And that's why they live with us. So we have like long-term vision. Like we're believing that once they graduate high school, we're going to sponsor them through college. They can go and impact the community from what they've been given.
Yes.
So we really, that's I think important to say. So we don't do a lot of placement or anything.
Right.
We just kind of, we don't go rescue, but we receive children.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Okay. So safehavenchildrenshome.com.
Yep.
Secondly, your business. So if you are a listener out there and you have anything to do in the insurance space, they have a business process outsourcing company that is helping to fund Safe Haven Children's Home. Where could an insurance agent find you or the owner of an insurance agency?
Yeah. Hineni, H-I-N-E-N-I.
Okay.
.io.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. I-O. Okay.
It's easy enough.
Yeah.
Spell Hineni again.
H. I-N-E-N-I.io.
And they could reach out to you and you can help them on the back end convert leads and that kind of stuff. It's really solid. David and I are all about trying to help see sustainable, like self-sustaining revenue models created to keep missionaries over on the field. And you guys are living that life. So thanks for being with us.
Yeah,
you guys are awesome.
Fun.
Thank you for having us.
How about a hug? No hug?
Man hug.
Okay, well, man hug it up. All right, guys.
All right.
Until next week, don't forget rate, review, subscribe. Hey, send this out to some friends. Let's get some people behind what Trent and Amy are doing. Okay. Love you guys. See you next week.
See you guys.